Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. In Hebrews, the 9th chapter, verse 27, the scripture tells us that it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. This is a truth that we have all come to believe, because death is an ever-present part of life and has been since the Garden of Eden. We all have lost someone to death, and we all expect to die at some time ourselves. In some way or another, we all wish that it didn't have to be so. We wish that we and our loved ones did not have to face this enemy. Of all the people who have ever lived on the earth, however, only two have avoided this passage. One of these was the prophet Elijah, who was taken up to heaven by a whirlwind, as recorded in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 11. The other was one of the early patriarchs, who lived in the seventh generation after creation. His name was Enoch, and his story is found in Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 to 24. Now, Enoch is mentioned by name in five places in Scripture. Two of them are in the Old Testament and three in the New Testament. Now, there is another Enoch who was among the descendants of Cain. He is mentioned only in Genesis chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, but he's a different character altogether. The Enoch in our discussion comes from the line of Seth. In Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 to 24, here's what Moses wrote about him. Enoch lived 65 years. And he became the father of Methuselah. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah. And he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now the second mention of Enoch in the Old Testament is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 3, where he is listed in the introductory genealogy of 1 Chronicles that goes from Adam to the sons of Noah. One of the things that is interesting about the record of Enoch, in Genesis at least, is that it appears in the detailed record of the 11 generations leading up to the time of the flood. Beginning with Adam in chapter 5, verse 1, the record relates the name of one specific person in each generation from Adam to the sons of Noah. We have in this record an unbroken chain of some 1,500 years, from creation to Noah and his sons. We note also that at the time that Enoch was taken by God, all of his named ancestors except Adam were still alive. The longevity of the ancient patriarchs was such that, including Methuselah, representatives of seven of the eight generations of mankind still walked the earth in the time of Enoch. We wonder what kind of impact Enoch's removal from the earth might have had on his extended family. A second point that stands out in the context of Genesis chapter 5 is how Enoch's record is different from all of the others. You see, in each of the other records, there is a standard formula. The named individual is said to have lived so many years and then became the father of the next named individual. Then the record states that this individual lived so many years further, and had other sons and daughters. Now, each record then closes with a statement of the total number of years that individual lived. In the case of Enoch, the beginning and ending parts of the formula are the same. Verse 21 says that Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Verse 23 says that all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Now, what is different about the middle portion of his record? We see that in every other instance, the scripture says that the person lived so many years and had other sons and daughters. But Enoch's record in verse 22 says that he walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Verse 24 repeats that Enoch walked with God and then says that God took him. The difference between Enoch and all who went before him is that the scripture says they lived, but it says he walked with God. Now, this phrase is unique in Scripture, and is not said of very many. In Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1, God commanded Abram with these words, "I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless." Later, when Abraham sent his servant to find a wife for Isaac, he reassured his servant in Genesis 24 and verse 40 with these words. He said, "The Lord before whom I have walked will send his angel with you to make your journey successful." These instances are similar to what is said about Enoch, but not quite the same. In fact, the only other time in which these exact words are used is in Genesis 6, verse 9. Here the scripture says, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. Now it is here that we begin to see what must have set Enoch apart from all the previous generations of men. To walk with God meant to be righteous and blameless before Him. In Noah's time, this was the character of his life, in contrast to the wickedness of the rest of mankind, which Scripture describes in Genesis 6, verse 5, as having every intent of their hearts being only evil continually. As a result of this distinction in Noah's time, Genesis 6, verse 8 says that Noah found favor in God's eyes. Now, it is clear that the world in Enoch's time was not wicked as it was in the days of Noah. However, what does seem evident is that Enoch was an exceptional person in how he conducted himself before God. Whatever everyone else was doing, Enoch distinguished himself by living righteously and blamelessly before God. In other words, if they were good, he was even better. If they did no evil, he did what was right and holy. He did not merely abstain from evil. Instead, he actively pursued and performed that which was righteous. He was not passive about his obedience to the Lord, and thus he stood far and away above all the rest of mankind. The question that arises is, can we know what Enoch did to walk with God so that we can do the same? I believe the answer is yes, we can. The first step is to recognize what it means to walk with someone. In Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, God spoke to the sons of Israel and said, "Do two men walk together unless they have made an appointment?" Now the word that is translated appointment in the New American Standard Bible, from which I am reading, is better rendered agreement. So God's point in this place is that Israel was not in agreement with him. They were going their own way rather than his way, and this is why his wrath was coming upon them. This principle is clearly and easily understood. One cannot walk with another person if they are not going in the same direction. Now, in Enoch's situation, we may correctly conclude that he must have been showing his agreement with God by the way he lived his life. He was going God's direction in everything that he did. He was in agreement with God's will. We learn something else about how Enoch walked with God by the testimony about him in Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6. Here the scripture says, "By faith Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." So we see that the testimony about Enoch is that he was pleasing to God. That's what it says in verse 5. Now, being pleasing to God is defined in verse 6 as believing in God and seeking Him. In other words, Enoch not only believed that God existed, he believed that God would reward him if he sought Him. In the context of Hebrews 11, in the examples of the heroes who are listed there, this means that Enoch demonstrated his belief in God by obeying Him in every facet of his life. So Enoch not only gave intellectual assent or agreement to God's ways, he also actively lived according to those ways. In this way, he was seeking God and thereby was pleasing to him. The next thing we learn about how Enoch walked with God is found in Jude verses 14 and 15. Here Jude wrote these words about Enoch. He said, "It was also about these men that Enoch in the seventh generation from Adam prophesied, saying, 'Behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all, and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds which they have done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him.'" Now this statement about Enoch, made by the inspired writer Jude, contains a quotation attributed to Enoch, but not found anywhere in Scripture. It is actually from a non-canonical source called the Book of Enoch, which was written in the first century before the Lord's birth. This quotation is somewhat like the statement by Paul in Acts 20 and verse 35, in which he quotes Jesus saying, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." You see, no record exists beyond the book of Acts to verify that statement, but we accept it because it came from an apostle of Christ. Well, in the case of Jude quoting from Enoch, we should be just as certain to accept it, even though it came from a non-canonical source, because Jude, the brother of Jesus, was an inspired man as he wrote that quotation down. Enoch's statement, as recorded by Jude, tells us that Enoch walked with God by upbuilding the truth, upholding the truth, and by warning the ungodly of impending judgment. Jude applies Enoch's warning to those among his readers who are in rebellion to God, in order to stimulate them to live righteously and to forsake sinful life. It seems likely, given this context of Genesis, that Enoch must have been calling upon the people of his time to devote themselves to God before God's patience wore thin. Perhaps one of the reasons that God took Enoch was to spare him from seeing the world become so corrupt as to warrant God's wrath in the flood. With Enoch as an example, we should be motivated to walk with God ourselves. We don't do this expecting to be miraculously removed from the earth, of course, but rather because this is what we have been called to do. For this has been described as walking in light. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, the Apostle John said, "This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin." As John describes it then, our life as Christians is a walk. We may walk with God by walking in the light, or we may walk our own way by walking in the darkness. We cannot be in the light and in the darkness at the same time, because the two are mutually exclusive. And we are, in fact, walking in one or the other of these ways. There is no middle ground. There is no gray area between the two. We understand also that to walk in the light fulfills God's desire that we please him. We know this because verse 7 tells us that those who walk in the light are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. When we walk in the light, we are walking God's way. Because in John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Therefore, if we wish to walk with God, we must decide, first of all, to agree with him and go his direction in every aspect of our lives. Then we must actively pursue pleasing him by believing in him and by believing that he rewards those who seek him. This also means that we go about seeking him every day. Finally, walking with God means that we uphold truth by learning it ourselves and by proclaiming it to others in order to warn them of impending judgment. If we will do these things in obedience to God's word, we will walk with him in life and then live with him in eternity. If Enoch had a tombstone, what do you suppose would be written on it? I believe I know what would be on it. It would simply say, "He walked with God." What better epitaph could be written about any person? What better epitaph could be written about each of us? When we think about Enoch and the life that he lived, then thinking about our own lives, what might be written on our tombstone if we should die today? Make the choice that Enoch did so that you will be remembered as one who walked with God. Thanks very much for listening today. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.